fact, I'm sorry for the delay. Let's get started. Technical problems. Yeah, Shakar, you saved the day. All right, so we'll learn the same thing. I'm just going to say it faster. That's all. That's the way it works. This is where we're holding. By the way, there are some of you. we're learning the morale. We're discussing the morale's question. We're really getting to the focal point of the entire discussion. The morale's question is, why do we have to speak when we're davening? Why do we have to speak when we're davening? Why do we have to say, Hashem knows what we're feeling, what we're thinking? So, why speak? So this is what we had ended with last week, with the morale. This is all a continuation of what we've been talking about, but I'm hoping that it could be understood to some degree also separately. The morale explained that since tefillah is the hashlamas ha'adam, in other words, the point of tefillah, as we have already discussed, is the human being is missing, the human being is lacking, he feels helpless and empty. That's what Rabbi Tzadik explained, that we've already learned, that the whole reason that a person undergoes all kinds of tests and difficulties and all the tzaris of this world, all that we go through in this world, to create a sense of that chisaron, of that emptiness, of that lack, so that the human being would be forced or persuaded to turn to the one above and to begin to daven and to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the morale explains that since the hashlamas ha'adam, the completion or the perfection of man, is that the being who senses his emptiness, who is aware of his own deficiencies and his inability to complete himself without the Creator, that this human being who by definition is a medaber, as we've spoken about for months now, the definition of a human being is a medaber, a speaking being. Because as we've learned, speech is that quality which stands between the neshama and the guf, between the soul and the body, between the soul and the body. So the human being is a medaber, the human being is a speaking being. He therefore must present himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his essential self, in the state of who he is, and the essence of human being is the speaking being. And remember that we've learned that the medaber is the one who's role it is to be the dabar, to lead all things back to Hashem, to bring all things of this physical world back to the root and source and holiness. Therefore, if a human being would only daven inside of his heart, although the morale even alludes to this, that there is such a thing that a human being can be heard even inside the heart, if a human being would only daven inside the heart, and he would never say the words, if he would just feel without saying, so the morale tells us that by doing that, he is not really presenting himself as a human being to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama could have remained in heaven. The whole point of human being is the one who is on earth, who can reach for heaven. And the one who is on earth, who stands between heaven and earth, and because he's between heaven and earth, he feels that he's lacking, he's like earthbound when he's longing to have a connection to the higher world. So because of that, the medaber, the human being, who is a speaking being, who is a connection of Shemayim and Aretz, his physical part and his spiritual part, must present himself in his essence, in the essence of who he is before Hashem. And in doing so, to be able to bring all creation back to Hashem. Therefore, when the world was created, it said that Hashem did not bring rain. Most of you, I'm sure, if all of you, remember that Rashi in the beginning of the Torah, Ki Elohim Tir Hashem, that the reason that Hashem did not yet bring rain, in other words, all was prepared, all of existence was prepared beneath the surface, but the world could not yet emerge in reality, in this, it couldn't yet emerge from its dormant state of non-being until the human being was here to daven. That's what Rashi says. The reason that Hashem did not bring rain to cause the grass to actually grow was all ever so slightly beneath the surface of the earth is because the human being, the davener, had not yet appeared on the world scene. That the human being was not here, Rashi says, was not here to daven. And the meaning of that is, all of physical reality is lacking and helpless and empty without the Creator. But only the human being is the medaber, the spokesman of creation. And the way that a human being speaks is as the speaking being with davening with tefillah. So all of creation, all the details of creation were waiting for the medaber to speak up on their behalf. To daven, that all things should be able, that the grass should be able to grow, that the rain should be able to fall, that the animals should be able to live, and so should be able to function, and so on. And our future depends upon this as well. Rashi brings down from Chazal, and the Navi Omar, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yesh Lefani LaHazvirch Lachem Geula.
Hashem says, I have the redemption prepared. I have the entire redemption. It's all waiting. Mashiach is prepared. Yesh lefana lahazriach lechem geula. Im tevakshu bakashoschem lemahir hakeitz. If only you will daven. If only you will daven to hasten His coming. If only you will want it and daven it and speak the words. So the whole world, the redemption of all things, everything is waiting for the tefillah of the medaber, of the speaking being, who is the daber, the spokesman of all creation. And therefore, according to the Maharal, the human being must stand as a human being before the Creator. And the definition of a human being, the essence of a human being, is that he has the power to speak. Now to try to see, I wouldn't say an alternative understanding, but to understand this on a deeper level, I focused out of this a few selections from the Nefesh HaChaim for Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. Now you'll see that this Amir Hashem hopefully will bring all the things that we've been learning for the last couple of months together. Where I made the asterisk on the first page, over there it's in the Nefesh HaChaim. So Rabbi Chaim writes, V'yadua b'zohar b'kisvei Arizal, she'inyin ha'tfilah hu tikun ha'olamos. In the Zohar, in the writings of the Ari, davening brings about a rectification, a correction of all worlds. V'his alus p'nimiyusam. And it brings about the ascent of the inner life of all things. Kol bechinos nefesh ruach u'neshama shebehem. Everything in the world has a nefesh, a ruach, and a neshama, as we've spoken about. Mimata lamala. V'hu ayit from below to above. V'hu ayidei hezdapkus v'eskashus nefesh adna berucho. Remember that the whole purpose of life, the nefesh, is that which is attached to the physical body. Our job in this world is to lift our nefesh, our physical life, up to the level of ruach, which is that stands between the nefesh and the neshama. The ruach is connected to the emotions. The ruach is connected to the liver. To the liver. The nefesh is connected, I'm sorry, the nefesh is the dam, which is the liver. Ruach is connected to the ruach hapeh, to the breath. So to lift, to the lev, to the heart. To lift the nefesh, to lift the lower level, right? To lift that up lamala, alidei is dakus viskashus nefesh adam berucha verucha b'nishmaso. To attach your nefesh to your ruach. Now what this means, we've spoken about, we'll see again here. To take the nefesh, the physical aspect of life, to lift it up to the level that is then ruach, which is the emotion, which is the lev, which is where the breath comes from, which is where speech comes from. To lift it up to the level of neshama, and thereby bringing together all worlds, all levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. The physical, the emotional, and the intellectual. Or the physical, the nefesh, the ruach, and neshama. Kamosh kosov, as Hashem le'el. Ayin sham. V'hem nikshorm ha'idei akimas usnua sefasov b'chituch tevos ha'tfilah. This, I hope, will give new meaning to our pronouncing the words when we're davening. So Rabbi Chaim says, how does a person join together all three levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama? By physically pronouncing the words. It's not enough to have thoughts of tefillah, but you must actually physically mouth the words. Because the whole point of tefillah is that the medaber should be the spokesman that is able to lead the nefesh, the full physical life, back up to the higher spiritual, intellectual, neshama, realm of the neshama. So therefore the human being must speak the words. Because he says, by pronouncing the words of tefillah, because when you're pronouncing the words, that's a physical act. Thinking is not a physical act. It says in the Gemara, that the movement of the lips is considered a physical action. This is the nefesh of speech. The breath and the sound, the voice that we were talking about, the voice last week, that is the actual speech, comes from the from the breath, from the voice. The voice is a deeper level, that's called ruach. In other words, in speech itself, there are three levels. In speaking, there's nefesh, ruach, and neshama. In speaking, in every word that you speak, there's nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Nefesh means the physical act of moving my lips. That's nefesh. Ruach means the hevel, the breath that goes into my speaking, and the voice, the sound. That's the ruach. Shubrinis Ruach Shabbat. The Kavonis Halev, the intent of the heart. Batevos based on Mirasam, the feelings and your intentions when you're saying the words. Hubrinis on the Shama Shabbadibur, that is the soul of your word. That is the neshama of speech. Lazos, therefore, lo yotzei dechovas in yinat tefilah b'machshava v'yihur ha'tevas b'leiv levad. Therefore, you have not fulfilled your responsibility to daven. You have not fulfilled your obligation of davening by thinking or feeling what, or sensing something in your heart. Ki eichev shol ha'gil eskashiv b'chinis ha'neshama. Since that Rizal and the Zohar revealed to us that the whole yinat of tefilah is to connect and to join and absolutely bind together all levels of creation, which means to bring together the physical and the spiritual, right? That means raising of the nefesh through the ruach up to neshama. Therefore, you, the speaking being, the human being who is essentially, as we learn from the Maharal, the speaking being, must present his tefillah in that the tefillah itself should be completely connected on all three levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Since the whole point of davening is to go in order and lift all things up from the lower to the higher realm, therefore in your speech you must connect the lower realm of speech, which is the movement of the lips, which is a simple physical act, to the next level, which is the ruach, which is the breath and the voice, to the third level, which is the neshama, the deepest intention and kavanas alev. She is kasha a nefesh al hadiba shutnuas asfasayim. Beruach shel dibur shu ahev v'akol, page 2. Ve'achar kach yiskashu gam shneim b'neshama. That the two of these, the movement of the lips and the ruach and the breath of the heart, should connect together with the neshama, with the feelings and the intentions. Shu hamachshava v'hakavona shebaleiv. Since all of creation, if we look at the world as a whole, all the physical things that we see with our eyes, we can call nefesh. The higher world where all things come from, we can call the neshama. Right? The human being, the speaking being, is like the ruach that stands between the lower world and the higher world. The human being is like the ruach in between the lower world and the higher world, who has the ability to connect all things back to their root in creation. Therefore, Chazal say in many places that everything that exists in the world exists in the human being as well. On a microcosmic level, everything exists in the human being as well. Therefore, since the human being has to lift all of creation from the lowest realm up to the highest realm, the act of davening itself must contain these three elements of the lowest realm, which is the physical articulation of the words, and the middle, intermediary realm, which is the ruach hevel hapeh, the breath, and connect all to these two to connect to the neshama, to the kavana, to the machshava, to thought and to feeling. On the top line of the second page, shua machshava v'kavana shebalev. Kshespala rak b'machshava levad. If you're only davening in your mind, lahoyila tefila, so your tefila has not worked. Filotika and klumah did not correct anything. It didn't bring a rectification of the world. Amnam kshespala b'kol v'chitachos yasadibu levad. But what happens if a person only pronounces words but doesn't feel anything? What happens if you're just saying the words, you're mouthing words, you're saying the davening that you're used to saying all your life, but you're not really thinking? Okay. Even though you have not connected the nefesh and ruach to the level of neshama, because neshama means feeling and thought. So you haven't connected the physical words to the deeper feelings of the heart. So nevertheless, Rabbi Chaim writes, Hagam Shavadai Eni B'Medrega Shlemir Gavoa Karoi. Even though certainly this is not on the higher level, this is not on the level that it should be. It should be on a higher level. And therefore, this tefillah that you say without feeling and without thought cannot rise to the highest world. It cannot lift all things back to the highest, to the throne itself. Since it's missing the ingredient of neshama, in your pronunciation of the word, you are missing the ingredient of the neshama, so it can't lift that tefillah up to the highest place. In Kolza, in Elarik Chasu Shalom, nevertheless, a Jew should know that that tefillah, even if it was said without feeling or intent, it's not meaningless, God forbid. He said it's not wasted. So you have fulfilled your obligation. And the Talmid Baal Shem Tov taught that not one tefillah that a Jewish person ever said, even with the emptiest heart, ever was wasted, God forbid. There is no such thing. It just can't necessarily rise to the highest place, but it certainly can. It can fix something in the world of nefesh. It can fix something down here below in the world. It might not bring about this remarkable, remarkable rectification of worlds and the unification of all levels of existence, but it can certainly fix something down here below. Because at least, Baruch Hashem, you connected your nefesh to your ruach, which means that you pronounced words with your mouth, that's the nefesh, that's the physical pronunciation, and you have used your voice for the sake of God, that's the breath of your heart, the ruach halev, so you've at least connected your nefesh to your ruach. You're missing the final link, which is nefesh ruach neshama, which is to dav mit the hearts, you know, with machshava, with kavanas halev. But you yotze. Va'olam ha-nefesh ba'olam ha-ruach, and these tefillos are not wasted. Therefore, Rabbi Nachman taught in one of his, in Likutei Maharan, that these tefillos are being held, they're sort of sitting in this world, and they brought about certain corrections in this world. But on that day, Rabbi Nachman says that you pour your heart out and you daven with all of your heart. So Rabbi Nachman says you create an opening, and all the old tefillos that only had in them a level of nefesh and ruach can be swept up to the higher world and can bring about rectifications even 20, 30, 50, 80 years after you daven them. That's what it means by Moshe Rabbeinu v'eschan al Hashem ba'eis ha'hi leimor. Rabbi Nachman says, and I pray to Hashem in the future tense, in that time saying. So what Rabbi Nachman explains is that there's such a thing that a Jew davens now, but it's only going to begin to speak at some time in the future. V'eschan al Hashem ba'eis ha'hi leimor, ba'eis ha'hi. Right now it's hard to daven. Moshe Rabbeinu was heartbroken. But there's going to come a time that his words are going to go to the highest place. So a Jewish person has to know that even though you're davening now on a level of nefesh, which is connecting to ruach, but you haven't touched that place inside of you that is called neshama. Nevertheless, on the day where your neshama is moved, that you can bring all the tefillos of the past can be raised up to the place where they have to be raised, to the place where they have to be lifted. Turn to page 3. You know, all of our lives, we have these wonderful little things that have helped us from the time that we're children to understand what we're, to be able to pronounce the words. Those are the nekudas, or dots, right? Now, when you look inside a chumash, you'll see that there are three things that are happening with every single word. There are nekudas, there are vowels or dots, right? Nekudos. There's also ta'amim. What are ta'amim? Ta'amim is the trup, we call it, right? The trup, which means the tune of that. Every word in Chumash and Tanakh has a ta'am, has a trup. And there's of course, the os, the letter itself, right? So there are osios, nekudos, and ta'amim. In every single letter and word, there are letters, there are vowels, and there's a tune, a tam. So this corresponds to nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So Rabbi Chaim writes over Yekiyaduah, nefesh ha'adam bechlala, it is known that the nefesh itself consists migimel b'chinas pratim v'hem nefesh, ruach, and neshama. She nefesh ha'adam, the human beings, consists of three parts. Shem atzmah magimlo b'chinas ma'isei dibur machshav shezeh kol adam. Ma'isei, physical actions. Dibur, so ma'isei means nefesh. Dibur means speech. Machshav means neshama. Shezeh kol adam. V'gam b'kol teva yesh gimlo b'chinas. Every single word that a Jew says has three levels. Ma'isei, there's a physical action. There's dibur, there's a spoken word. And there's machshav, a thought. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. V'heim osios u'nekudos u'ta'amim shaba. The osios, the nekudos, and the ta'amim. K'ma shekasu b'agdamas ha'tikunim, it says in the Zohar, tam he'inu nishmasim, it says in the Zohar, that the tune, that's called the neshama. The tune, the song, that's called the soul of the letter. Nekudin, the vowel of the dot, that's called the ruach. V'asvin, the letter is called the nefesh. He explains this on the next page, 4. Ha'os yisem b'chinas ma'ase. The letters themselves, that's the physical ma'ase. The letters are the nefesh of your words. That's the letter. The letter is the nefesh. The letter is the physical, the actual physical entity that's before your eyes, that you're saying, that's the letter. Osius and Mechilas Mais. Kimitzias Osius Greda. Below Nakudis, Eev Shashiul El Bechilas Mais. A letter that doesn't have any vowels, all it is a physical thing that sits in one place, but it has no life to it. Without vowels, a letter has no life. It can't go anywhere, it can't move, it can't live. It's just a base, it sits there. It is a physical thing. It was Nishta Lebedik. It's sitting there, it doesn't do anything, it doesn't make a sound. What's a base? It doesn't do anything. It's just a mitzias. It's a physical reality that's called a base. But it can't cause anything. It can't go. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't have a sound. So the oisius and bechinas meiser, the mitzias oisius greater below the kudus without the dots, without vowels, eiv shishiyu ela bechinas meiser. It's only a meiser. Hainu meiser ksiva. It's just a written word. That's all it is. It's a written letter. I'm sorry. It's a written letter. K'mo sheim ksuvim b'sefer Torah below the kudus. Ki bedivu eiv shalo hitziyah me'aper. You cannot say a word unless there are dots, unless there are vowels. You can't pronounce a word. You can't say it without vowels. It's impossible. Therefore, Rabbi Chaim says that the letters themselves, the letters without nekudas, without vowels, are called nefesh. They're called nefesh. The physical quality might say. Next, and the kudus, the dots, the vowels, and bechinas ruach. You feel it in the kudus. That's what the ruach. That's what the kudus is. It's the ruach achaim. It's the living breath that gives the letter motion. The letter begins to move like life when Hashem breathed life into man. Is vayipach bapav lishmas chayim vayi adam lenefesh chaya. That breath of life, the ruach achaim, is the nekuda, the dot. Remember, speech is ruach. Physical actions is nefesh. The intellect is the neshama. Speech is ruach. So when we speak with our ruach, with the breath of our mouths, of our hearts, when we speak, then we put nekudos into the letters. That's the ruach that goes into the letters. There are some people that even when they speak, the words don't go anywhere, because they're so insincere. We'll see from Rabbi Nachman at this time. But when a person speaks with ruach, then the letters have vowels, very powerful vowels that move that are moving those letters directly into the heart of the person who's listening. Dvarim hayoytzim and halev, words that leave the heart, which is the place of the ruach, nechnosim al halev, enter into the ruach of another Jew. Ukemoshe ikar chiyas adam ayibichinus haruach shabbat, just like a human being can't live. His physical body is like a letter. That's what we spoke about last week, like a letter in a Sefer Torah, right? His physical body is just sitting there. Every Jew is like a letter in the Torah, right? His physical body is just sitting there. So too, without the ruach, without the breath of life, so too, a letter without a vowel is not alive. Shebet seisim and our ruach umeis. When the ruach leaves a person, the person dies. Even though we know that even after the ruach leaves and the person can no longer breathe, there's still something of the nefesh left inside. That's not for now. Kein ikar chiyas tnuas ha'osius hem in the kudus, the essential ability of the letters to move. That happens through the nekudas. You hear what's happening when a person. What Rabbi Chaim is revealing to us that the deepest way of davening, you know, when you imagine in your mind the letters, in your mind you see the letter as you're saying Ashrei, you see an Aleph, a Shin, a Resh, and a Yud, and you say the letter at this, you say Ashrei, and you see it in your mind's eye, and you have the intention of what the letters mean and what the word means, you're connecting Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama on the deepest level. But you have to see the letter, and you have to see the letter. When you see the physical form of the letter, you have to mamash see it in your mind's eye or in the siddur. But you have to see the letters. It's a very deep thing. If you didn't, the davening is still very precious. But the highest level is that you are able to infuse your mind's eye with a picture of the letter, with the physical shape and form of the letter. Because the letter itself, when you take the physical form of the letter and you see it in your mind, you're connecting nefesh, ruach, and neshama, because the physical form is nefesh. The intellect is the neshama. By being able to use my intellect and see in my mind's eye the physical letter, I'm connecting the nefesh, ruach, and neshama through my speaking the letter, which is the ruach that brings together the nefesh and the neshama. So he's saying, Shabiltam yesh lahaitzi ayisias ma'pe. Without nekudas, you can't utter the words. They don't come out of your mouth. Fine. That's nekudas. Next is ta'amim. Ta'amim, the trup is a very deep thing. The trup is a very deep thing. What that means, that letters have... Ta'amim. With a mem at the end. Ta'amim. Tes ayin mem yud mem. A ta'am means the deeper meaning. That's what ta'am means. It means the taste of something, the deeper meaning of something.
Ma'isa dibur and ta'amim, is that...
It's all nefesh ruach neshama. It's all the same thing. What's the tamim shel ha'teva? Same chinas ha'machshava v'kavanas ha'lev. The song of each person's feelings and heart. Them, not just that they're alive, but their mom is singing. They're moving. They're doing something. They're doing the feelings. The neshama is the tam. Shu b'chinas ha'neshama ki yedua ki hem atnus v'anhagas anekudas v'aisias untiosim ezet zad shehu. Because it's the tam that brings the letters towards a certain direction and keeps them moving high or low and so on. There is a certain trap that when you sing that, it means that the person's having a doubt. And there's a certain trap that means the person's kadma va'azla, means the person has had a great emotional outburst. And then there's a revi'i, when the person feels like he's going through a yirida, right? Where the person feels that he's failing in something and so on. There are hesitations. There's a hesitation, right? Yaakov, it's a hesitation. There are hesitations in letters. There are tamim that stop the words. The tamim is the neshama. That's the neshama. The tamim is the neshama. Let me just fill this in with from Lakuta Maharan. Yeah, I'm listening.
The same words I use with people.
Huh?
In
different places with different traps. Yaakov will have different traps depending on what Yaakov is going through. Different times there'll be different traps. The Vilna Gaon, the Gro, is very big on explaining why a certain tam, a certain trap, is on a certain word. The truth is that in Kabbalah we have svarm and svarm and svarm written about each of these things. The Nakudas, the Ayusius, svarm and svarm written about each thing. Rabbi Nachman says in the 31st Torah of Lakuta Maharan, this really is something that deserves a couple of hours. Rabbi Nachman says that the job of a person in this world is to try to put nekudos, to try to put nekudos and ta'amim, to try to put dots and songs to the letters. La'isias atari, ki osias below nekudos, kiguf below nefesh. Because letters without nekudos, without dots, it's like a body without a soul. Shein lam shum tenua pulu b'lay nefesh. Kistafis if it's yivugun shal isis. Oh, I have it in English. Why am I reading to Hebrew? Then I translate. It says, for letters without vowel points are like a body without a soul. Lacking a soul, they have absolutely no movement or function. So listen to this now, what he says. It says in Shir HaShirim, in the first paragraph of Shir HaShirim, Nekudos HaKesef Nasalach. We will make for you, in the Nekudos HaKesef, I'm sorry, Torei Zahav, we will make for you necklaces of gold, Torei Zahav, we will make for you necklaces of gold, Torei Zahav, the tough, necklaces of gold, and points of silver. Points of silver. Nekudos HaKesef, points of silver. So Ibn Achman says that the points of silver, the word kesef means also in Hebrew besides silver, it also means longing. The word kesef is from the word kisufim, which means nechsefa, v'gantal, so it means to long for something is called lichsof. So listen to what Rabbi Nachman says. The vowel points are the love, and the kisufim, the yearning, as in points of silver, points of kesef, and the kisufim are the soul, as in my soul is nechsefa, it yearns and pines for God. Commensurate with the yearning are the vowel points. If one yearns for evil, evil vowel points are created, and then the letters come together and unite to do evil deeds. But if one yearns to return in repentance, if one yearns for tshuva, good points, good neshamas, good souls are created, and the letters move and unite to do good deeds. And no, it is not enough for a person to just long in his heart. He has to express his yearning in words. To this end, the prayers were established. As a result of the longing, As a result of the longing in the heart, a soul and vowel points are made in potential. Then when he expresses his yearning verbally, the soul is actualized. You know, the tzaddikim, you said on the pasuk, we say the whole month before Rosh Hashanah, Hemanti ki adaber. Hemanti ki adaber, which means, I believe, the tzaddikim explain it means, I believe because I speak. Hemanti ki adaber. Oh, we say that in Halo. What do you mean? We said Hemanti ki adaber, in Yisim Adonai. In Halo. Hemanti ki adaber. Not in Ledov Hashem. Hemanti ki adaber. In Halo. The tzaddikim say that a person, when you speak words of longing with the mouth, you say the words, eventually it can cause the heart to become inflamed. It can cause the heart to become inflamed because this is the mystery of the nefesh, ruach, and the neshama that are connected together. And when one empowers the nefesh, just saying the words, speaking words of longing, that's what Rabbi Nachman is talking about, speaking words of yearning. So the soul is actualized. For the soul comes forth primarily from the breath of the mouth. As in it says in Shir Hashim in the 5th chapter, my soul came forth when he spoke. Nafshi yotze bedabro. That means that when I speak, I could bring forth my soul. There's more to talk about in that Torah. Now turn to the last page. So far, to understand what Rabbi Chaim is talking about, that when a person is davening, all worlds are united together. Because all things exist on three levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And the purpose of man, the davener, standing before Hashem, is to be able to draw all things of this lower world, all things of this world are waiting, just like the grass of creation, for man to speak. To verbalize, as Rabbi Nachman says, the yearning of the heart. To actualize the soul. Nafshi yatsa b'davar. In other words, all things are dormant and waiting on the level of nefesh, so that the human being will come with his nekudos hakesef, with his dots of longing. And the dots of longing means the deepest desire of a human being to give vowels to creation. Do you understand? To give vowels to all creation. Because all of creation is dead without davening. All of creation are letters, words, physical entities, physical objects that don't have vowels, that don't have a breath of life. Human being who is the one who can have nekudos hakesef, points of longing. Points of longing. And by speaking, and by davening, even if it doesn't get connected deepest, on the deepest level to his yearning, to the yearning of the heart. Nevertheless, if the person begins to activate the nefesh naturally begins to connect to the ruach, and the ruach to the neshama. And that's what we see here in Nefesh Chaim, in the second Shah, Perek Yudalad, how all of reality is affected. On the 5th page. Everybody knows that davening is instead of karbanis. The davening came to substitute, to replace, in the meantime, korbanes. V'inyin shavad is atfilum, k'ayim avad is akarb. K'mayish inyin akarb, and hayila halos nefesh abahim alamala. The meaning of a korban was to uplift the animal aspect of creation, to bring it upon the mizbeach, and to put it upon the fire that of the mizbeach. Therefore, according to halacha, the main kapara atonement of the carbon is achieved by the sprinkling of the blood, because the blood is the manifestation of nefesh. We're bringing the whole world. The whole world we're bringing back to HaKadosh Baruch. Ourselves, all physical things, we're lifting up to Hashem. That's why the human being's name, the name of human being is Adam, which means Adam of the earth, which is the lowest physical level of creation. But the Ramban tells us the word Adam also comes from the word Adam el Yom, So it says in Yechezkel, I am similar to the one above. I can be like Hashem. So the name of man itself, the name of man itself expresses the ability in a human being to lift the lower world up to the higher world, to include all things in God's oneness, to lead all of creation back to its tacht, to take the leather and to make it the tefillin, to take the wax and to make it into a Shabbos candle, and to bring everything back to its place. L'chidika kapar yatol b'zikas adamu ha-nefesh. That's why in the name Adam, the Svarim say that Adam stands for, the letters Aleph, Dalet, Mem stand for Adam, David, Mashiach. Because you understand that Adam is the beginning, that's the nefesh. David is the ruach. David was that tefillah. David was the ability to speak, to sing. And Mashiach is the nesham of creation. The deepest, the unfolding of all creation. So Adam HaRishon and David HaMelech and Melech HaMashiach, it's nefesh, ruach, neshama, ma'isei, dibur, and machshava. V'chein ikka kapar yotol b'zvikas adamu ha-nefesh, v'chein akhtar say murim mikom ha'el kavonis ha'las ha-nefesh. The incense and aktaras imurim, the offering of the imurim of the innards of the animal, and ikin yin atfilo lahalos v'limsu ladabik napsha lamala. He didn't mention aktaras; he was talking about the inside of the animal. Aktaras imurim. Ki karach adibush l'adam nikkud nefesh, k'mach akasu v'hi adam l'nefesh chayv v'tigam unklus l'ruach mamalala. V'chenir la'ain shebechol dibush adam mitzim yipiv. We can see with our own eyes that every word that a human being utters, Shabakal Diba Shahada Maitsumi Piv Yaitsumi Piv Ruach Vehavala Life, there comes forth a breath from the heart. Badibu Ikun Nefesh Adam, she says, Yisun Ha'adam and Abahema. This is man's advantage over an animal. And can call Teva Hayaitsis Mi Piv Adam, Ikarich Vechelik Mi Nafsha, which we already learned. Therefore, he just mentions in the footnote, which we're not going to really see, but he mentions in the footnote, therefore, when a person is wondering, like a person is thinking, like now we're going through these parashiyas. They're very hard parashiyas. We had such a good time learning all the stories of the Torah, right? And all of a sudden you come to Truma, the Tzava, and then Vayikra, it's like the lights went out. And everybody's scratching around for some word to say that doesn't have to do with how many poles and how many pipes, right? It's really a shame. Because when a person learns the Svarim HaKadosh, then you see, that's what he's explaining in the footnote, every single sacrifice in the temple. And every single physical object in the temple, in the Mishkan, is the counterpart of a certain spiritual koach. For instance, this week's parasha, you have the 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol, right? That's what it's all about. You read it, you look at the pictures, fine. If you look in the Ahava Rabbah, what we say before Shema, Ahava Solom, you know the tefillah in the morning before Shema? The beautiful, beautiful tefillah? So if you look at it, you'll see, V'seim libeinu, lahav and lahaskil, l'shma lum, a lot, there are 8. And each one of the 8 garments of the high priest connects. One is Lahavin, the other is Lahaskil, the other is Lishmor, Limod, Lamed, Lishmor, Lasu, Lekayim. And when you learn what this gold and silver mean, you understand what means Ahavin, what is Yirah. But every carbon and every single physical fixture in the Mishkan is Mamish Atikut. Of a certain aspect of reality. Since the whole point of reality is to connect all physical existence and to detect in that physical thing its soul, which is its own point of connection to the Creator. Therefore, for instance, one of the wonderful things about the Mishkan is it's the beauty, the colors. How many colors, right? You look in these parashiyos, the colors. The colors of the stones on the Kohen Gadol, right? The stones, the beautiful jewels. You look in the Mehesh Shiloach from the Holy Yishbet, so you'll see there every single stone. Why is this stone that color? What does that color mean? Why is it that Yehuda has this color stone? Why does Zebulun have that color? What does that mean inside of us? What does the color green mean? What is a sapphire? What is a jasper? This is not stam. Everything was created to, you have to find the chain, the charm inside all things. Everything is filled with charm. Everything is filled with God's presence. Mamish, everything is filled with the charm of the Creator of the world, the chain of the Creator. When a person connects to things, to Torah on a deep level, and you begin to see how in every single physical thing, and then after you learn the Mishkan, and you study the sugi of the Mishkan deeply and properly, then you can look and see in the world around you such chain. There's such charm of Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world, in all things. And the Svarim HaKadoshim revealed to us the deeper meaning of every single thing in this world. How all the Dvarim are medabrim, what all the things are saying. What all the things are saying. Micha Moicha Ba'ilam Hashem. Who is like Hashem? Chazal say, Micha Moicha Ba'ilam Hashem. We can learn it. It's hinting, Micha Moicha Ba'ilam Hashem. Who is as silent as Hashem? So it takes a human being to be able to speak on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And when the human being studies Torah, when the human being speaks words of tefillah, the tefillah, davening is the way, without realizing, by us connecting the letters with the vowels and this song, all things of creation are mamash being taken, swept up in that entire great majestic movement of creation back to Hashem. That's what tefillah means. That's what tefillah means. And we have a lot more to do. It's not the end of it. We have a lot more to do. But this is what we're holding, Bez Hashem, with the letters and the vowels and so on. Now we have to see how this, to go into this on a deeper level, to understand the ta'amim, to understand the song, how this all connects to Shira, and to discuss why is it that, we still didn't discuss, why is it that sometimes we're supposed to davka daven out loud and scream and yell, and why is it that sometimes Shemoneh Esrei davka is supposed to be silent? In other words, when are we supposed to connect together our voice with the words? When are we supposed to be quiet? When is it time to yell? And when is it time to be silent? That's what we have to Mishnah deal with.